welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. I'm your humble, gracious, and beautiful host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
And our good friend, Eric.
What's up?
I'm not humble, I'm not gracious, and I sure as hell ain't beautiful.
That's true. All right, we got a lot to get into. We're doing our AEW company retrospective, part two of our trilogy here about AEW and WCW and the comparisons. We're going to be getting to that in a couple weeks, the comparison episode. But first, we're going to deep dive AEW, just like we did last week for Nitro 96 to 98. Before we get through all that, Doug, hit them with the plugs.
You got it. All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, and on Wednesday nights, Eric, the Dirt Sheet Dudes. You're going to go on next Wednesday, right, Eric?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because AEW is in Philly next week, so.
Oh, okay. Wednesdays at around 10:20-ish Eastern time, gets Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, and Eric's been hanging out with them, been doing a really good job on that show, too, by the way.
Thank you.
You represent this show proud.
You're better on that show than you are here.
You realize he was probably expecting that from me. Sharon was expecting that from me.
I was.
And also Friday nights at, they do it at 9, right, Eric?
9:30-ish.
9:30-ish Eastern time Friday nights. You have the Hollywood Hangout with Boxman and Smart. Mixler.com.
You might move it to Saturday.
They're doing it on Saturday?
No, he said he might move it to Saturday because he's always tired on Friday night.
Gotcha. All right. So Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes for all their episodes. All right. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next week, we are doing a retrospective on the October 9th, 2000 episode of WWF Raw. Where we find out who ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I can't wait to watch that again.
So, yeah, we have to watch it, too. 2 weeks, obviously, like Daniel said, we have the comparison show between AEW and WCW 96 or 98. In 3 weeks, we're counting down the top 20 greatest wrestlers of all time. And in 4 weeks, October 29th, we're going to be covering a Halloween Havoc. I just don't know which one yet. So, Unlimited this week will be on Sunday, right, bud?
Yeah.
We're going to do Unlimited on Sunday because Daniel, Eric, and I actually have a lot of stuff going on tomorrow.
Yeah, don't ask me the Scaredy Cats movie.
Okay.
What time on Sunday?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
It's still to be determined, Eric.
I have to close.
We'll figure something out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you might not be able to be on.
Yeah, I probably won't be on this week.
Oh, well. Well, we'll miss you. But we'll keep everybody posted on the time. Scaredy Cats, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Daniel and Mindy, they will keep you apprised of what the movie will be. Also, check out our buddy Sean on YouTube, Elite Diplodeck or Diplodoc. Where you'll see gaming videos, roller hockey videos, and on Sneaky Fetty on Twitch, where he will be live streaming video games. And also, of course, one of our own, Steve Kozlowski, will be coming in January with the Wrestling Fan Club podcast. And His first episode, January 11th, 2022. He will be doing a top 10 list. I think it's like, what, the worst gimmicks of all time or something?
Yeah, he's changed it so many.
Well, he's not doing the Ric Flair thing?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he changed it. So so keep an eye out for that. All right. That's it.
All right. Let's get into it.
I'm sorry. I apologize. This upcoming week, don't forget to also check out Clinton and Eric with the Hard Hits.
Oh, thank you.
And that is that going to be Tuesday or Wednesday this upcoming week, Eric?
I'm going to guess probably Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now you can go. I'm sorry.
We got a lot to get into. We're going to be talking about AEW as a company. A lot of fun stuff here. Eric, you've been really into this company so far. Talk about it. Give me something.
I think from the two-year anniversary is next week, Dynamite. From where they started to where they are now, I think they've done better than people have thought. I think, especially from last year, because I think last year was kind of a down year because of COVID and stuff. But they last couple months, I think they've gotten back to that, I guess, pedestal. But yeah, I've enjoyed it the last couple months. Last year, not so much because it was COVID and stuff. So I've gotten my passion back about it.
Well, I guess it's pretty good then, if it's reinvigorated your passion for wrestling. I've had mixed thoughts on this company. I got to check it out a little more lately. I know they're doing a lot. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. I really liked the last pay-per-view we saw. I do feel we have a lot of flaws still.
Yeah, there is.
A lot of those we can also touch on in the comparison to WCW in a couple weeks because I think those share a lot of the same flaws. The big flaws I have so far, if we're talking shit right off the bat here, overstuffed roster, which isn't always a bad thing. And I do like how they're putting new people on TV and they're letting I do think we have too many WWE guys, which I understand. You can only work so many places, and it's really hard not to get old WWE guys, but it's still something that they promised would not happen that happened.
I get you there.
That was their big thing. We're not going to be Impact. We're not going to be WCW in the 2000s and just take WWE guys. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But they did do that. From where we started.
I'll counter that after you're done. But.
I know. I mean, go ahead and counter it because I understand the pandemic. I understand that people have livelihoods and they need to work. And I understand by bringing independent darlings like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk that they're not just associated as WWE guys. I get all that. And I get Christian Cage because of TNA and stuff. There's been other things, though. Like, the Good Brothers are just there because they're buddies.
Yeah.
The Good Brothers have not added anything to AEW television. And I like the Good Brothers.
No.
The Good Brothers don't need to be in the Elite. I like them, but they don't need to be there. That faction's strong right now. They're a good heel faction, pieces of shit running the thing. They don't need the Good Brothers because they didn't start off there.
I agree with that.
I know they had the shit in New Japan, but I don't think it's very warranted. When they brought Matt and Cardona in, I know it was only for a little period, but that was clearly because he's friends with Cody. I understand this stuff. Like Big Show, I don't get it. I don't get Mark Henry. I don't get that stuff because those are WWE guys. And guys that really can't contribute as much as they used to. So go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, I don't think they expected all these guys to be available either. Like, us, Black, Miro, even CM Punk. Nobody expected him to come out of retirement. Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage. I mean, I'm not making an excuse, but I'm just saying they didn't expect these guys to be available when they were. And it's hard to turn them down, too.
Yeah, no, and I understand. It's just don't make that your mission statement. Don't say that when you're starting this company. Just like another mission statement about how they're not really going to do silly shit or sports entertainment. They've done a lot of sports entertainment. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think it is for the best, and you do need to be entertaining as well as put on good wrestling matches. But you said this is a sports-centric product. I understand we got rankings. I understand we have records. I don't see it as a sports-centric product. I see it as another sports entertainment show. Just my opinion. Doug, feel free to hop in.
Okay. I was wondering when I was going to be cued in here. I was starting to fall asleep.
Sorry, Doug.
You fucking egomaniac.
Yeah. Somebody has to be the diva. Clinton ain't here.
So my feelings on it are this. I agree there's a lot of guys on the AEW roster that came from WWE that don't need to be there. First of all, Doc Gallows doesn't need to be anywhere except for, probably, in the back with the loofah ready to scrub Kenny Omega's balls. All right. Doc Gallows is a waste of fucking space. So, there's certain guys on there. Like, I can understand, like you said, why Punk is there, why Daniel Bryan is there, even why Adam Cole is there. Because,
Adam Cole's there now?
Yeah. And, the thing about a lot of those guys is, because they consider themselves to be professional wrestlers, not sports entertainers.
Yeah, and I get that too. And I get that a lot of these guys are friends because they started off together. You have friends, Cody's friends with a lot of the WWE guys. That's where he started. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, you're going to get that. And I know you can't get your friend's job. That's how working goes. It's all about connections in life. It's all about you'll get that with any business. Usually the top guy at most companies is, has a good rapport. I fucked that up. A good rapport with the guy running the shit. So I don't blame them for bringing their friends in because they have talented friends. And I understand, Daniel Bryan, he did a lot of fucking independent shows with these guys back in the day with Kenny Omega and ROH shows before he went to WWE. I understand. Adam Cole, I get it. Even Christian in TNA, I get it. What I don't get, and like I said, to me, Big Show and Mark Henry are my two big examples because I don't think they add anything. Yeah. I understand getting them as commentators. They're very nice, likable guys. But Big Show, nothing says WWE to me more than the Big Show. I feel like he's another John Cena.
Yeah.
He's a company guy. He started out in WCW, true. But when I think of WWE, when they used to send people out to do fucking media and shit, they were always sending Big Show. Big Show is WWE.
Yeah.
So now you see him here, and he's just a commentator. He's Paul White. I mean, he wrestled the match. Thank God it was short. But why is Big Show here? I like Big Show, and I've always thought he got a bad rap. I don't see him in the independent company like this because I feel like this company was made to get away from people like Big Show.
Okay, so I have a theory here, right? You just said Big Show's a company guy. He does media appearances.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what AEW wants. Okay, if we have to make an appearance at, a children's hospital do some kind of charity event. You can't send, the Bucks or MJF, they're cocksucking buttfuckers. All right. They'll super kick a sick kid.
Whoa.
All right, they're that big a piece.
That's their gimmick is. I mean
Matt Jackson's that big a piece of shit. So you have to send legitimately good people.
and Big Show or Paul White is a legitimately good person.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that's not real though. Matt Jackson's not.
There is no way he is a good person.
He's not a good person. He's not super kicking a kid with cancer. There's not fucking even the worst people do make a wish. I don't know.
MJF ain't gonna do it.
He can't because he's a heel.
Well, Andy can't do it because I don't think any male member of his family is allowed around little kids. But that's, I think, why they, hired somebody like Big Show or Mark Henry.
Yeah, but you have Cody. Cody is, first of all,
one of the greatest tux wearers of all time, even though it's way oversized. Get your own size tux. But he looks great in a tux. People love talking to him. He does the media shit. Him and Brandy was doing the rounds at the beginning, and people loved it. He would do the podcast and announce stuff. Why do you need Big Show to go around and tell people why your company's great? He doesn't know half the guys on your fucking roster. And I'm sorry, I'm sure Paul White knows a lot, and I'm sure he's done a lot of research on the product. He is a constant professional. But I'm just saying, like, he's a WWE guy. Why are you bringing him to represent your company and take you
because
out?
Because he's got friends. I mean, he's friends with JR. He's friends with Tony Schiavone.
But if those little kids, like, if he goes and does stuff like that, those little kids will go, oh, that's the guy from WWE.
They're going to say, it's the Big Show.
Yeah, it's the Big Show. They're not going to say, ooh, Paul White.
I mean, I understand that. And, like, another thing I kind of want to touch on, even though I love the fact that the guy is there because I love what he's doing right now with Darby,
yeah,
it's Sting. And but I don't have much of a problem with Sting being there because – and the reason why is because when they make him wrestle, they're at least protecting him in a tag.
Yeah.
They're not making him wrestle singles.
And Sting is the farthest thing from a WWE guy. That's why I don't find Christian a problem, because when I think of Christian, I think of TNA. I think his best work was in TNA as the world champion. I enjoy what he's done in the WWE, the TLC matches. Fucking, he's put his body on the line, but I see TNA. When I see Sting, I see WCW. People try to block out that shitty WWE run that they fucking did to him.
Right.
He's not a WWE guy. So it makes sense Sting being on the broadcast, especially in a managerial role. I want to get into something else now. Now that it's a great transition since we're doing it, what do we think about having a shit ton of older legends and older guys in the managerial role? I'm talking about your Tullys. I'm talking about your Arns. I'm talking about your Stings. I'm talking about your Jake Roberts. The AEW has made a point of this to have the older guys more as like coaches and stuff instead of other personality roles. What is our thoughts?
I think that it's a good idea because it also saves them from having to get – I mean, yes, Sting is the one getting in the ring, and he's doing all that stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's still able to do
but
Scorpion Death Drop, and that's all he needs
to do. Yeah, and, like – but I think – even though I don't like Tully Blanchard, I think he walks like he's got more shit in his pants than Vince McMahon does. But I do think that that's a good role for a lot of these guys. And it also, it gets them a payday.
Yeah.
Like you
keeps
see.
Them on TV.
It keeps them on TV, but they're not going into roles that they don't need to go into. Like they don't, like you don't need to see Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and Jake Roberts in the ring. Because they can't do it anymore.
No. But I'm not really against them bringing them in that role.
Yeah.
I do think it might be a little much because I feel like everyone's got a manager. I do love managers in professional wrestling, so I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, so let's just talk about that for a minute real quick, right? Go back to the late 80s, early 90s WWF.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Slick, Johnny Valiant, Mr. Fuji, Oliver Humperdinck, Elizabeth. If I'm forget, did I say Slick?
Was Captain Lou still around?
He left in 86, but I mean, you could technically put him on the list too. If I'm forgetting anybody, you know, please forgive me. But So you're supposed to have a lot of managers, and like, but also a lot of those managers, like, they weren't really considered. Like Bobby Heenan had the Bobby Heenan family, and that was considered a stable. Jimmy Hart's people weren't considered a stable. It was just guys managed by Jimmy Hart.
I like what AEW does with it though, because it's smart. I like the old setup too, because it's like Slick isn't a wrestler. Slick doesn't wrestle. He's not. His job is to manage people, and that's what he does. And he's a manager. And I like that. But I like the idea of bringing an older wrestler, even like Vicky Guerrero. Even though, dear God, sometimes I do love that woman, but her voice is nails on a chalkboard.
Excuse me.
Exactly.
She's here.
But I do like the fact of bringing veterans in, because these are old, hardened wrestlers. It's like when MMA, when you retire and you become a coach.
Right.
It makes sense.
They know what they're doing, and
yeah,
they're able to coach the young ones.
Yeah. So it's like Jake Roberts is kicking game to a young man. Arn Anderson is helping Cody along with his career because he's an old, retired guy who knows how to do it. That's compelling to me. I understand that, and I enjoy that aspect of it.
I mean, I do understand the point, and I actually do agree with it.
Sweet. Let's talk about some top matches.
I agree with you.
This thing has had. Because we've had some great matches. My favorite match of all time, AEW all time, it's actually in my top five of all time, has to be Cody and Dustin. I'm sorry, the original, the Double or Nothing match with Cody or Dustin. AEW has never given me anything with the amount of heart. Just the amount of heart that was in it. Sense. They've had some good storytelling, and I do think that's where they lack a little bit is their storytelling. Because it's that type of company where you have a bunch of guys bouncing ideas, and there's no writing staff. And that's great, because we've seen that a writing staff can fuck up a company like it has WWE, but sometimes when you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen, shit can get muddled. I think shit's gotten muddled with AEW sometimes. But to me, Cody and Dustin was such a clear story. They didn't even have to build up to it, really. And they just put on one of the greatest matches of both of their lives. It had emotion, it had heart. You felt like Dusty was there with you watching it. Talk about that match, Doug.
I mean, I thought it was great because, like, they tried to do Dustin versus Cody before, and it sucked.
Yeah.
In WWE. But AEW, I think, knew how to do it right. And, you know, again, that was AEW's, technically, it's their first night in existence.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point. I mean, you could say all out, or, you know, all in 2018 was it, but.
Yeah, technically.
But that was more Ring of Honor than it was AEW.
Yeah, AEW wasn't a thing yet. It launched everything.
But yeah. It helped everything. But that match was awesome because you had Dustin Rhodes proving that he still had it. You had Cody proving that, you know, he could be a top guy. And, you know, it wasn't even like the, you know, final match on the card. It was like midway through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really liked the match too. I mean, I liked a lot of what Cody has done because Cody, to me, at least, he's somebody that's willing to put over the other talent. Like, I got to talk real quick about Malakai Black, you know, Aleister Black.
Yes.
And the fact that Cody put him over twice. Now, like, they ran this angle with Arn Anderson on Wednesday where Arn Anderson looked at Cody and said, "I'm not coaching a loser anymore," and then walked away. So Arn might be, you know.
Yeah, that's its own story, you know.
So, but like Cody does the right thing.
Yeah, he does.
Which
he gets a lot of shit lately.
And the thing is about him, I feel like he's had the most success at all the EVPs too, with not just by title wins or anything, but all of his programs to me, all of his angles with people have worked for the majority. The only knock you can give him is that QT Marshall feud. He tried his best. I'm sorry, QT Marshall is not a draw, but he tried. And Anthony Drogo could be a draw someday, but turning it into an America versus Russia thing is not what the country needed right now, and people weren't into it. And I understand that, and that was a miss. But besides that, the dude set MJF up to be a star, and he did with the Cody's best friend shit. He set MJF to be a star. He had a good title feud with Chris Jericho and put himself to never win the title again. That's unselfishness to a key. His feud, him and Darby have some of the best chemistry I've ever seen in a wrestling ring. The thing with Dustin was amazing. Everything you put this guy in, he makes it work. He made Brody Lee look like a fucking beast. Brody Lee, I was so excited. I mean, RIP, and we will get into Mr. Lee, but Brody Lee looked like a monster that was going to take the company over because Cody helped him look like that. The Dark Order became just a little fucking, no one. That was the one thing that we said, the Dark Order isn't it. Everything else is working, but the Dark Order, it sucks. And then Brody Lee came in and turned it into a big money angle. He turned it into something big. And a lot of that was because of the help of Cody.
Now, the only thing I agree with the fact that the QT Marshall thing just sucked. Because QT Marshall, he should be waiting tables and catering, not out performing in front of everybody.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude. I get that he's friends with everybody. He's a nice guy. He's not a draw. I'm sorry, no one's ever, and I don't mean to be a dick, no one's ever going to pay money to see QT Marshall.
No, you're right.
I mean, Eric and I saw him. Remember the Ring of Honor taping that you and I went to a number of years ago, Eric? QT Marshall was there, and he lost to Roderick Strong in about 15 seconds.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember that one.
That's the only thing that moron is good for.
I do. Anthony Drogo will be a star.
Yeah.
I do think that's someone with that. But that whole feud just didn't work. Everything else I do think has.
Well, also the Lance Archer thing.
Lance Archer worked.
And Sean Spears.
You thought that
Sean Spears was stopped. Okay.
The match I didn't like, but the feud was great.
Okay.
I thought the payoff, I did not enjoy the match, no. I agree. I thought that match was very slow. I don't think their styles work together. But the build-up and everything with Jake putting the snake on Brandy, I know it was controversial, but holy shit, that was like good heel Jake Roberts. And it made – Lance is a good babyface now. He's still a babyface, right?
Yeah.
But I was believing him as a heel in that moment because Cody was helping me make it, me believe it.
And that's the thing, too, is that Cody – has done an excellent job 95% of the time.
Yeah.
AEW has a lot of, you know, we talked last week about WCW and the talent they had. A lot of those guys were brought in as just like jobbers, and a lot of those guys were also past their prime.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys here that could be stars and still have a lot left in them.
Yeah.
They're bringing in another guy next week, you know, in Philly. Bobby Fish is coming. Now, Bobby Fish, I don't think, is young up and coming because he's 40.
Yeah.
But they're bringing him in. I mean, you could argue that that's another WWE guy, but I would actually call Bobby Fish a Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The forbidden door is open again.
And now this is the part of the show, since I've given my boy praise, where I shit on Kenny Omega. Because
take a big stinker on him.
I've always
callous to lick it off his face.
As a wrestling fan and someone that loves this shit and someone that really wanted AEW to be successful, and they are successful right now. They're doing good numbers wise, engagement wise, they're doing good. Kenny Omega has never been utilized properly, and this heel run. I understand that they are trying to utilize him properly now, and they're trying to make something out of him, and he was supposed to be the star of this thing from day one. He was the number one independent wrestler in the world. He was the guy. He's never worked for me here. I don't like him as a heel. I don't like him as the world champion. The cleaner shit, I understand it worked in Japan. The Elite, I don't – it's a poor man's NWO. I don't like what he's doing. I haven't enjoyed him. I wouldn't say he's selfish either, just because he's the world champion. I don't find him selfish because he took a lot of big losses in the beginning. It's just, besides his match with like Pac and stuff, all of his matches have been kind of overrated for me. I think the main event at Double or Nothing, him and Jericho, Cody and Dustin washed that out of the fucking water. There was Jericho tried, but Omega really hasn't done anything to me. I love his facial hair. I think that's a good heel facial hair. But besides that...
I agree with that.
He hasn't impressed me. He really hasn't. The Young Bucks have impressed me more. I think they're better heels.
Because they're easier
yeah.
to hate.
Yeah.
See, Kenny Omega, the worst thing about Kenny Omega is that hemorrhoid Don Callis.
Yeah.
Like, if
he
you give Don Callis, which I think would be a real humanitarian thing to do is to get rid of him. If you get rid of Don Callis, Kenny Omega is probably the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. But the problem is when you present him as a babyface, too, he comes across as a white meat bland babyface. So it's really hard to find something to do with him. And they really wanted, like, this was their star, and they're still trying, like, he's their star. But I don't see it. I've never saw it. And Moxley, the Extreme Rules match, the lights out shit with Moxley was amazing. When they went back to the feud to give him the belt, it fucking sucked. The transition, him
yeah.
winning the title and the whole Callis fuck finish, terrible. The exploding barbed wire match
terrible,
is
yeah.
terrible. Fucking awful. This dude, yeah. he just isn't it.
Do you think, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to insult the whole country here, but do you think, like, it's a Canadian thing? Because, like, you know, you can even argue that, like, Owen Hart was a bland baby face when he was a baby face. And, you know, Bret Hart is bland all over. I mean, Kenny Omega.
I mean,
he's
worked with Jericho.
Jericho might be the exception to the rule.
Yeah, but I feel like Jericho
yeah, exactly.
is always more entertaining as a heel, too, though. Like, he's good right now, but he's also had a hell of a dance partner with MJF. Hitler could be
yep.
a baby face against MJF. I mean, but in WCW, when he first came in, he was a white, bland baby face, and you didn't give a shit about him. And even, like, in WWE, when they would, like switch him sometimes, like, the stuff with Trish was cool, but that's because Trish and Christian were good heels.
When he first turned from being heel to babyface and was doing like the Intercontinental stuff and then the stuff with Triple H, I think helped.
Yeah, he had Triple H. But I've always enjoyed his heel stuff a lot more. So I think you might be onto something. Benoit was very bland.
Lance Storm, very bland. And again, these are great workers. And I
some
like
of the best workers on the planet.
I like a lot of these guys.
Kevin Owens. And Owen,
yeah, I did say Owen, but, like, I really think, and, again, I don't mean to insult Canada.
Well, I'm sure the internet already hates me for my Omega shit, so.
But it's just, to me, it seems like a Canadian thing, almost.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one that's super entertaining, but besides Jericho.
Martel was entertaining as the model, but as a...
He was a white meat baby face when he was a baby face.
Yeah.
How about Kevin Owens?
Tyson Kidd, white meat baby face.
Yes. Kevin Owens might be the exception.
Kevin Owens, is Sami Zayn Canadian?
Yeah.
I like rooting for Sami Zayn when he's a baby face. I don't find him bland.
He's not bland, I don't think, as a baby. As a heel, though, he is so much better because he has that punchable face.
Yeah, he's good at making you hate him, but I like him in the underdog babyface role, too.
Because he did good in that. And Kevin Owens also. So Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, I think are the exceptions to the rule. They could be both heel and babyface. Jericho to a point. Other than that,
I agree.
I prefer
the heel Bret Hart of the 1997 and shit. I prefer heel Benoit because he was vicious and aggressive, not just happy to be there.
Heel Owen.
Heel Owen was fucking amazing. Even heel Lance Storm is better than babyface Lance Storm.
Yeah.
He's bland no matter what, but still.
I mean, Edging Christian too. I mean, you could say...
I don't know if I would put them as bland. I think they would be more...
So they're up there with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would say that. I mean, Edge, I'd much rather see Edge as a heel. And I think...
Oh,
Chris
yeah.
is another one that at certain points had that punchable face. But there's something about Chris...
His best heel run was with Lita.
Yeah. Edge is just a baby face now because of how much good he's done for the business.
Right.
Pretty much. Just because everyone respects him. That's why he's a good babyface now. But everyone loves Rated R Superstar Heel Edge. Piece of shit. Scumbag.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so, like, other than that, other than those four examples, like, I really think, and again, don't mean to insult Canada,
Now, can I piss you off?
Go ahead.
Because I'm going to talk about one of the best guys in this company, someone that you fucking hate, but that's because he does his job so well. I get that his uncle's a pedophile. I understand, but that's not him. As a wrestler, I think MJF is placing himself to be the face of the company, heel-wise. I think he's going to be the next Ric Flair. I think he's the ultimate fucking piece of shit, not just with his promos and stuff. The kid can work, too. The kid gets in there.
Yeah,
he's
can.
He's just as heel as Miz. Miz is a great heel. Miz isn't that great in the ring. MJF can work. MJF puts on great matches, and he's a heel's heel.
Do you think he should have beat Jon Moxley for the title last year? I mean, I kind of do think that. Because I actually would have liked to have seen MJF have a run with the title, because you know he would pull the bullshit, you know, get the fuck out of Dodge, the chicken shit heel.
I would.
Kind of like what, Omega's doing now?
Yeah. Well, I think MJF's better at it. And I would prefer him
as the
heel world champion over Kenny Omega. But I can't say yes, because I think what he did with Chris Jericho just even more legitimized him. Like, this whole feud, this was like a year feud. This was long-time story building. This will be in my comparison to Sting and fucking Hogan when we do that. This was a long-term story with him and Chris Jericho, and we just got the payoff, and it was fun to watch. And the payoff was a heel submitting the baby, or babyface submitting the heel, and everybody cheering and going wild. But you had so many twists and turns. You had MJF, you know, going in that group and trying to destroy it from the inner circle, which is funny. But he was so good in this feud, and Jericho, who was the top heel here, it turned him into a good babyface.
Right.
And it made you like Sammy Guevara. Whoever thought we would like Sammy Guevara?
Not me.
I think the kid's a talented wrestler, but when you talk about a punchable face, oh my God. Like, Sammy looks like a kid that I would have gotten a fight with in high school. Sammy is just he's a dickhead. He looks
Sammy
like
the face.
But now it's like, oh my God, this kid's going to be a star. This kid is on pace to be a star. And a lot of that we saw because of MJF. MJF is so hateable that he made you like Sammy Guevara. Holy shit, how do you do that? It's because he's so good.
There's another guy we haven't talked about yet. He's probably my favorite wrestler in AEW right now. Adam Page. What are your thoughts on him? I know he's absent right now, but
Adam Page, for me, at the beginning of this company, I said bust. I said that this kid was not going to be what they want him to be. He's not the future. He's lackluster. Everything that you think Adam Page is going to be, it's wrong. It's not going to happen. I don't see it. I am happy to say that a couple years later, I completely changed my mind on Adam Page. He's completely proven me wrong. People are still chanting cowboy shit. And he said that in a promo over 2 years ago.
By the way, he's not even 30 yet.
He's not even 30. He is going to be, when I said MJF, like him and MJF are going to be selling out the Garden in 3 years. And they're going to have big money programs with each other. And that's the feud, one of the greatest feuds of all time. And we're going to talk about Hangman Page and MJF, the baby face of the company and the heel face of the company. I strongly believe
I'm that. Waiting for Hangman to take the title from Omega. I've been waiting for that for 6 months.
It's got to happen. It's the natural progression. And then maybe you have MJF the title after him after that. But
exactly.
Hangman Page is going to be the face of this company. He's set up to be the face of this company. All they have to do is fuck it up if it doesn't work. But he is so over. People love him. He's the cowboy. He's like the modern-day Steve Austin.
I was about to say that.
He doesn't give a shit. He's there to drink his beer, kick some ass, and go home. And there's something so likable about that. You never turn him. Let him be the baby face of this company, because he will be. Don't turn him. Don't make him evil. Let him be that guy.
Don't go,
Yep. And fucking...
Don't let him go to the Elite. Don't let him join the Elite or anything like that.
He's got to be the guy spearheading against the Elite. He can't join the elite.
Problem is now that they have Danielson, you know, we're probably going to get a heel Adam Page versus... I mean, I agree with you guys. You know, they should have him take the title. And by the way, like, if he didn't ask for that time off...
he would have won the title.
And... then he would have won the world title at All Out.
Yeah.
But, you know, he asked for the time off because he was expecting his first kid. So basically, like, and you can't really blame him.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I need time off too. Steamboat doing that before. But also, Ricky Steamboat did that after they gave him the title. At least Hangman said, I kind of have to miss the pay-per-view because my wife is giving birth.
Yeah, there's some things that are more important.
Yeah. But, so, like, Hangman, you know, didn't
wait. I can't wait for Adam Page versus Adam Cole.
That would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, if you turn them, it's another, like, fuck-up. To me, I put that in the L column for AEW because this is your guy. Keep building him as your guy.
Yep.
Don't let the fans ever turn on him. Don't let them ever – because once you turn him, when you turn him back, people are going to think he's a dick. Don't do it. Let him stay this baby face. Let him be the good guy and let him spearhead against Omega. That's a big money.
I 100% agree with that.
I want to see him do big things. I've been excited. Their lackluster treatment of him sometimes really fucking pisses me off. Because sometimes it feels like they treat him like another mid-card guy, and he's just not. But I'm going to name some names.
Dark Order time and stuff. Okay. Sorry,
right now, no, you're good, man. We're talking. It's all good. I want to name some names, and then I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
I'm going to say Luther, Matt Hardy. Let's go... let's even go the hybrid to Jack Evans and then Helico. And let's put a couple more people in there. I don't want to do anyone unfairly, but those are some big – Brandon Cutler, let's put him in there. Let's put the Gun Club, as much as I love Billy Gunn, let's put him in there. And let me ask you guys, what have any of these men done for this company in a positive way?
And
I love that.
Nothing with the Gun Club besides turning on the show.
What has Matt Hardy done besides chasing Sammy Guevara with a golf cart?
The stuff he's been doing lately with Orange Cassidy is kind of cool. Like throwing his money around.
The money Matt shit sucks.
I mean,
come on.
I kind of enjoy it. And tonight on Rampage, by the way, he is sending Jack Evans to wrestle Orange Cassidy in a hair versus hair match because Matt doesn't want to put his hair up. So Jack Evans is wrestling Orange Cassidy hair versus hair. And Jack Evans, by the way, has lost to Orange Cassidy 4 times in a row.
It's fucking bullshit. All Matt Hardy has done for this company is ruin Private Party. In my eyes.
Yeah.
Private Party was on a nice, steady push. They were putting out great matches. People loved them. You put them with Matt Hardy, no one gives a shit. I love Matt Hardy.
They should have never turned him heel.
He can be a creative genius. He really can. But there's something, like, the broken shit wasn't going to work anymore. It's not 2016 anymore. I'm sorry. It's not a thing. It's not going to work. And the owner of the company doesn't like it. Tony Khan said he never understood the broken gimmick. He's not a fan. Now Money Matt, which is
an old
gimmick. He's going back to. It's an even older gimmick. And I'm just not in on it. I just don't see him. I don't think he talks about how he wants Jeff to join him. I think Jeff's done more meaningful stuff than he has in the past 2 years. And Jeff hasn't even done that much. But fucking get out of here, dude. What have you done? I love him, but I haven't seen him do anything. Peter Avalon. I love pretty Peter Avalon.
He's just there.
What are these guys doing for this company? I understand having a lot of people, so you have a lot of names and having a nice big roster and you're paying these independent guys that wouldn't get paid this money. I understand all that. But you have a good majority of the people on this roster that aren't helping benefit the company, that aren't pushing the needle forward, that aren't, you know, it's just more names. who, I mean, when I think of the people, like, I have paid money to watch John Moxley. I have paid money to see Chris Jericho. And I've paid money to see maybe Cody Rhodes. But what other these guys are you paying money to see? Adam Page is going to be a star someday. Not yet. MJF is on his way. You're paying money to see him get his ass kicked. So he's doing his job.
Okay, so of the guys right now, technically homegrown talents, like right now, that you would say, MJF obviously going to be a star, like you said. Hangman Page. I think Jungle Boy's got a huge upside.
Mm-hmm. I love Jungle Boy.
All right.
Darby.
Exactly. Darby.
That's the most positive, yeah.
All right, Darby is definitely up there. I think also Hobbs, you know.
Potential, but what is he doing right now?
Hobbs?
Yeah, he's got a lot of wins, but it's hard to remember the guy.
I mean, well, yeah, because I think Team Taz is holding him back. I think he needs to go on his own. Because, I mean, you have Taz who does the commentary and all that. Ricky Starks is just annoying.
Yeah.
And you have
he's good
Taz
in the ring too.
who just looks like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. Right. Hobbs has a lot of potential. Hobbs, I think, is going to be a star. Obviously, you know, we said Sammy. If Wardlow gets the fuck
the
away
man
from
of the
him,
year, I like them.
Yeah.
Who'd you say?
The man of the year. The Scorpio Sky. Yeah.
And Ethan Page, yeah, especially if they stick with Lambert.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's going well. I actually like it.
I just hope that bringing in all these guys, like the worst thing you can do is give Daniel Bryan the title. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the worst thing you can
no.
do.
I hope they don't. I can't stand
You can't give Bryan Danielson the title. I love CM Punk. You can't give CM Punk the title. You need to start building these homegrown guys. That's why you built this company. Who's the star right now? MJF. He's the only one that you could probably put in a main event and people are going to pay money to see. Hangman's still getting there, and I think he's there, but they haven't, like, really put him in position yet.
They did the right thing by putting the TNT title on Sammy.
Yeah, they did a great thing.
I was about to say that.
I think that was a great thing, and the whole evolution, because him going over on Shawn Spears on that the Inner Circle versus whatever the fuck.
Pinnacle?
The Pinnacle. Is the Pinnacle even a thing anymore?
That was good.
They're kind of a thing.
Yeah, they are.
Wardlow and Spears are still teaming on, like, Dark or Elevation or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. But that was a great match. And that's when I looked at you and I was like, all right, Sammy's going to be a star now. And it's like, holy shit. And Sammy has done a lot of stuff, but he's still got some ways to go before you can put him in the main event and say, pay money to see this guy. So I just hope that they don't keep giving us these dream matches. As much as I want to see the dream matches, I hope that doesn't get in the way of building the talent. Because at some point, it's been 2 years, guys, at some point you're going to have to put Omega at the top of the key again, not just for your first show. He's going to have – not Omega. Did I say Omega?
Yeah.
I meant Paige. You're going to have to put Paige at the top of the marquee again. You need MGF in the top of the marquee. You need to get Sammy there. You need Jungle Boy there because Jungle Boy can be a babe. People love Jungle Boy.
Brian Cage is another one. Too,
he
that
is
I
so
think
over.
They need to no, they really need to do something with him. I mean, I think he's hurt now.
Brian Cage is hard because he's a hard case to get right because Brian Cage is in the – and I'm not saying this, but this isn't my quote, but Kevin Nash would call this a vanilla midget company. This is an independent company, basically. These are like – the ROH guys and you got a lot of small guys. That's what this fan base likes. You got a lot of the tiny ones. You got CM Punk and Daniel Bryan now. You got the short guys. You got the athletic flying around. That's what people come to watch here. So then you got this big fucking beast of a man who looks like he would be Vince's wet dream. How do you make him work here? They're still figuring that out. I do think they could do it, and I think it could happen, but it's still being figured out. But that's another guy.
Archer too.
I could see Cage at the top of the key someday. But there is a, like we said, there is a lot of talent here. Another guy that I think we should mention, Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah.
They need to get him the fuck away from that Griff, Garrison, though.
Yeah.
Like, split up the Varsity Blondes. You don't need him. Or you don't need Griff Garrison. Brian Pillman Jr. could be a star. He's just like his dad.
Let's talk about this tag team division. I think the strongest part of AEW, to be honest.
They got a lot of them.
And it's not just a lot. Yeah. Like, they all put on good matches. Even, like, some of the lesser ones. Like, I think someone, people would probably not look at the Butcher and the Blade in very high regard. They're still a they're still a very solid team, though. They're still a good team. And they're Buffalo Boys.
Yeah.
But they're a solid tag team. You got the Bucks, who, as much as we hate the Bucks, maybe one of the most over tag teams in the world right now. As heels,
Mika brothers.
I think they do good work. I like them as heels.
As heels, they make you hate them enough.
Yeah, and they're good in-ring workers.
Yeah. I do think that Matt needs to start doing some jobs instead of Nick doing them all the time. And I'm not just talking about blow jobs either.
But that, and our new tag team champions, the Lucha Brothers, how fucking great was that? How much of a moment was that to see these guys? And I'm glad
especially
they're
especially after when his daughter came over and hugged them.
Rey Fénix has the ability to be their Rey Mysterio someday.
Right.
And I think Rey Fénix could be at the top of the marquee someday.
Rey Fénix
right
could
way.
Be a single star.
Someday. It sucks, though, because Penta's so damn good and they're so good together. So you don't want to break them up because they're so damn good. So you don't want to do
oh,
it
yeah.
because they mean a lot to the tag team division, too. That tag team division runs on them. You have the Inner Circle team,
yep.
Santana Ortiz. I know you've had a lot to say of them in the past. I like Santana Ortiz.
I like them now because for some reason, for me, they're working as baby faces.
Yeah. You have a really strong tag team division, and it's something the WWE's lacked in certain times. So it's cool that they've really put a lot of time and energy in that division. I think that's one of the shining
spots. Even Moxley and Eddie Kingston did solid.
Moxley and Eddie Kingston.
They're fun to watch.
And it doesn't feel thrown together because they're friends.
Yeah, they're friends, and I'll tell you, I think we are going to get a trios title,
yeah,
a six-man tag title, and I'm okay with that because they actually do have some legitimate like trios, and the trio of Moxley, Kingston, and Darby just works.
Yeah,
it works. And
oh yeah,
in the corner, there's three of the most over guys there. I mean, I think Eddie Kingston by himself is dog shit.
Yeah,
but
maybe the best promo in the business, but not the greatest worker.
Not as a worker, I think as a promo, and I love him on commentary.
Eddie Kingston shows you how good he is when he speaks because that title match at what was it Revolution? Was it Revolution? Him and Moxley.
All Out.
Yeah.
That title match at All Out. When I just saw that on paper, I was
not All Out. Full Gear.
Full Gear, okay. When I saw that on paper, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? Why are they pushing Eddie Kingston? This makes no sense. This is stupid. This dude was on NWA a couple weeks ago. He's not shit. He's not a star yet. Like, what are you doing? You have so much good talent. But then I heard him talk, and I saw the promos, and I saw the build-up, and I saw him and Moxley being very passionate with each other, looking each other in the eyes and talking about life and their mothers and fucking – and I was ready to see that match. And it's like, holy shit, Kingston might even win. He's such a good talker. I was like – and I knew there was no way he was walking out of the arena that night with the belt. But the way his promos were so damn good, I believed it.
What about like when he kind of turned back into babyface when he protected Moxley when it looked like Moxley was going to get blown up and they had to like that was such a cool moment but then it got ruined because
it was so corny because that's where the independent shit gets annoying and shit because the deathmatch gimmick it doesn't work that's why they keep it in Japan that's why they don't try it here because. That the exploding shit, it usually doesn't work, and it's a hard gimmick to make off because if the dude with the button in the back checks his phone for a second, you're fucked.
Which is what happened at Revolution.
Yeah.
like, and then the explosion went off, and it was very like pee pee, like it was like a little sprinkler show, and it's, and Eddie's like fucking hugged over him, like I'm saving this guy's life, and it's like it just turned out like kind of corny and so bad it's good, like it was like, it was like funny, it's like I, it's still entertaining because everything went wrong, but that's why they need to, they really just get a little more professional with the product, and I think it'll be great. And I, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm glad that everyone's hanging out and having fun, but I do think that that can be a liability sometimes.
Right. I'll tell you, though, the promo that Eddie and Moxley cut, like, after Revolution, where they were back together, you know, it was funny. And then, like, you know, they're even insulting each other because Moxley's just like, you know, you could have come out there sooner. You know, I was getting my ass beat for 18 minutes by three assholes. But no, you know, I gotta wax the eyebrows. I gotta get the Tims on. Somebody had to take their time. And he goes, you know me, G. You know I gotta look good on pay-per-view, huh? And I'm laughing my ass off because, like, they're talking about how happy they are to be back together. But Moxley is still like, you know, you still are a no-good son of a bitch for me to be out there by myself for a while.
And Tony Khan buying the rights to Wild Thing for him was such a good idea. And him buying the rights to the Jungle Boy theme song as well. That was such a good idea because those themes I just, like, put with those two people now. And there's something about when him and Kingston come out to Wild Thing and the crowd's into it and they're ready to beat some ass and they just look like these cool, two tough dudes, you know?
Right.
And it's like, and like Eddie Kingston is any guy at any 7-Eleven around the country. Everyone has grown up with Eddie Kingston. Everyone, we know one. Everyone knows a guy like Eddie Kingston that just thinks he's a little, he thinks he's a little bigger than he actually is. And he thinks he's the fucking man, but he's kind of just a goofball. And that even works as a baby face because Eddie Kingston thinks he's a badass. And he can convince you that when he talks. But you look at him, it's like, this guy isn't a badass. He's a goofball.
Right.
And that's why him and Moxley work together.
I think me and Doug know somebody like that, but I'm not going to say who it is.
He kind of looks like Kingston a little bit, but, you know, I don't really want to insult Eddie Kingston that way. But I know who you're talking about.
You know who my example was.
I know who your example is, and your example fits Eddie Kingston to a T.
Yeah.
But I like the example you came up with.
Yeah, if we say his name on air, he might come here with a gun, so. But
no, he's not going to come here with a gun. He's going to ask us to pay him.
Yeah.
He's going to sue us for... He's going to expect the fucking money.
Now, I don't want to go too long here. I feel like we're doing the company justice because it's still very early, so there's really not too much to talk about. I do want to touch on the women's division, though.
I was just going to say, when the fuck are you bringing them up?
The chicks.
The young ladies.
I think it's getting there. I think for a while it's the worst division in AEW. I like Britt Baker. I think she's a great face for the division. I've loved her heel work. I think she's a good baby face too, but I love her as a heel. I think she's reinvigorated the division, and I think you got some Sheeta's legit. I love Sheeta. Sheeta can get in there and make any match look good. I like Chris Statlander. She can work. Nyla Rose is consistent. You know, Riho is what she is. She's good. And then you got some wild cards like Abaddon, which I think could be something big someday. But largely, this division has been considered pretty lackluster. Why is that, Doug?
Because I think you had a lot of talent that came in at first, and they're like not used to like a certain style.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, some of the women wrestlers have gotten very good. I think Statlander is very good right now. I mean, the match he had with Britt Baker at All Out was amazing.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think Red Velvet is getting up there.
Yeah.
She's good. I think Anna Jay's good. Ty Conti's good. I'll even say Penelope.
The girl from Philly. What's her name? I forgot her name. Penelope Ford.
Yeah, Penelope Ford. She's good. Thunder Rose is awesome.
Yes.
But like, I think they're all getting, you know, they're getting better.
Yeah.
And, like, I think at first, like, with the women's division, I think a lot of them were kind of forced down our throats. Although you try to force Nyla Rose down somebody's throat, they're going to fucking choke. I mean, because that would be like eating a whole ham.
I get it.
But, like, I think now they're finally getting their footing because you have a lot of these young ladies that are really proving themselves.
Yeah.
And Britt Baker obviously is the face of the division. I mean, I really don't know if I want a face of the division with that size of honker, but she's cute, but she needs to lose about 20 pounds off that schnoz.
But who's the top baby face right now? I mean, you can say something about Lacey or Ruby Soho, whatever the fuck she is, and that she's getting like,
I love her.
She just came in. I like her too, but the jury's still
out. It would probably be, I still think the top baby face would probably be Statlander.
Yeah.
It would be Statlander. I mean, I got a feeling they're going to try to push Anna Jay again. I mean, they were in the middle of doing big things with her up until, you know, she hurt her shoulder. Now she's back.
So your top baby face isn't the girl that was just the world champion for a year?
I think it should be. It should be, but for some reason, like, they're just kind of, they're keeping her middle of the card.
I do think
she's having a good match next week. I forgot who it was against.
She's facing Serena next week.
But Sheeta, to me, is the top baby face. And she has proven a lot. And I think she has kind of helped put this division on the map. But then if she's your top baby, or let's even say Chris Statlander's your top baby face. They've already wrestled Britt Baker multiple times, both of them.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now? Like, Ruby's your next shot. She just lost to Britt Baker. What are you going to do?
Thunder Rosa.
I think Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker could be a big money feud. Or are they going to just give it to us on Rampage one night?
Well,
I think they're building to it. Similar to, like, Adam
but
Page
that's
and
what I'm saying.
Omega.
You're running out of matches. You're running up because now that these guys are just on fire, you can't really do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Sheeta and Britt Baker have wrestled multiple times. That chapter's done. So what can you do there? You can't.
I mean, and Red Velvet already got the shot, and she lost.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you have to think of Thunder Rosa, but I think before you get to Thunder Rosa, you do Tay Conti, you do maybe Serena Deeb, and you do Anna Jay. And then you go back to then you go to Thunder Rosa. Or, you know, Santana Garrett's there now.
Yeah.
Put her in.
Yeah.
She can work with Britt. She knows how to work.
You don't want Big Swole in there?
The problem with Big Swole is that, like, they had something going with her, and then they just stopped.
Yeah. And Britt kind of got her over it a little bit.
Yeah.
They just stopped. I just think you need a little more depth here. It's there, but it's like also like Britt Baker has probably been one of the most workhorses on the roster. She's had so many matches. And that's what makes it hard when you give it the belt. Now what are you going to build to?
Yeah.
And make it
exciting. Now, are you guys glad that they're not, like, interacting her and Nicole yet? Because you know the time is going to come.
Yeah, I think save that. It will come. I am glad they're not doing it yet. Because she's doing her own thing. Let him do his own thing.
I mean, Adam Cole already wanted to kick Tony Schiavone in the face because he actually told Tony on Dynamite, he's like, you do know you are getting way too close to my wife. Like, I don't know how he worded it, but I think that, like, it was kind of, like, I mean, it was that message.
Yeah.
But
that could be something down the road. No, man.
What? Cole and Shivani fighting over Britt?
Britt Baker match
with Shivani.
Yeah, and the loser of the match is Lois Shivani.
No, no, the lure, the loser of the match has to let Britt give her Maru Canal.
She's a dentist. That's her whole thing.
We got the joke.
I don't have much else to say about this thing. I think Chris Jericho's awesome. There is a lot.
I do have a question.
All right.
Sorry.
We'll see.
Do you think Chris Jericho coming to AEW helped it grow? Where would it be if he didn't come to AEW?
I think it would have failed.
They would have been off of TV already.
You needed him as world champion for that first year. As scared as I was to have a WWE guy and have him win the title right away, I think he was a good flag bearer for the company. He gave it legitimacy. He made the world title seem like something. And he's done nothing, but like how you say Cody's unselfish, Jericho's been very unselfish, and he's helped a lot of people.
He put over Orange Cassidy, for fuck's sake.
He made Orange Cassidy look like a bona fide star.
And I got to say this about Orange Cassidy, because we really didn't talk about him that much. Orange Cassidy, I couldn't stand him at first. Like, the whole best friend thing, like, I like Trent.
Yeah.
I mean, and Trent's not there now. He's recovering from neck fusion surgery. But for some reason, to me, best friends got over.
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck Taylor is a jackass. But Orange Cassidy is just, I enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have shit my pants if they would have given him the world title.
Remember that one promo that they said and then Chuck was like, you know what? He's going to go in there and he's going to try.
Yeah.
And then Trent's like, well, he hasn't said that yet that he's going to try.
But he tried in that match. Like, when he wrestled that match against Pac, I mean, that Orange Cassidy can work. And I think the dynamic that he has with Statlander works out
he's
for
fun
both of them. Which, by the way, Statlander had even said, him and Statlander, I don't know if he actually picked it or not, because I don't even know if he talks backstage. But, like, Statlander wanted to be put with them for a while. And she wanted to do it because, like, they were doing some stuff on BTE.
Yeah.
But, like, Tony Khan's just like, it's not going to work on TV. It's not going to work on TV. Because on Beyond Wrestling, Statlander and Orange were actually working against one another. Like, they were wrestling each other.
Okay.
And they were friends, or they had become friends. And Statlander's just like, let me pair with them. You know, it'll work. Tony Khan's like, I don't know. And Orange Cassidy finally just spoke up, and he's like, put me with her, or put her with me. It'll work. And it worked.
It worked.
I mean, the two of them together, like, that's a cute couple.
It is.
I was going to say that, too.
Your voice got really lovely right there.
Didn't it?
I was going to say that, too. But, final thoughts, guys.
I think
I'm excited for the future. I'll say that.
I am, too, but I think, like, the next few months are going to be really telling. I do think they need to lay off bringing other people in for a little while, though.
Yeah, I think chill with the roster you've got for them.
I mean, like, once...
Don't bring in Bray Wyatt. I don't want Bray.
I mean, they're gonna, I think, but, like, his no-compete... Well, his no-compete's up in November.
Yeah. It doesn't need to happen right away. It can happen next year if it went away.
Right. But, no, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and they can be... If they could be used right, if creative has their heads, on their shoulders and not up their asses.
Very true. I agree.
What are your final thoughts, Daniel?
I'm still excited to see what they're going to do. I'm not giving up. I'm liking what they're doing.
keep building the talent that they have and quit bringing new guys in. And I think it's going to continue to be exciting. And I think we'll keep hearing about AEW for years to come, hopefully.
Now, I will say this real quick. I do think that if they want to bring in new guys, like they should keep bringing in the guys from Japan.
Yeah.
You know, if guys from Ring of Honor, you know, give up their contracts.
Yeah.
Or like Impact guys or something like that. Keep those relationships going. Leave the WWE guys alone.
Yeah.
You don't need any more.
Any more women.
Yeah. Start adding to your women's roster.
I mean, to be honest with you, like if they want to add to the women's roster, Santana Garrett I think is a great add. You could bring in Cassie Lee and Jessie McKay if you wanted to. I mean, I know that kind of just goes against what we just said, but I'm not against that.
I'm not either.
Because Cassie, you know, the former Peyton Royce, she can work. Billy Kay, or, you know, Jessie McKay is a great character.
Peyton Royce might be one of the biggest missed opportunities women's-wise in WWE history. I mean, that Raw Talk promo, and it's like, after that, it's like, holy shit, she's going to be a star. And she was set up to do some big shit. It's like, oh, my God, Peyton Royce, we're watching and we said it on here. We're like, oh, my God, we're witnessing Peyton Royce renaissance. She's going to become something that we didn't think she would.
And then the moron that's the president of WWE looked at her contract, said, oh, I don't want to pay her that kind of money, and released her.
Yep. I think it's just a matter of time before they go. They do have a podcast, so.
Yeah, they have a podcast, and they've done – well, everybody has a podcast now. I mean, they're modeling themselves after us. But, like, yeah, no. And also, too, I do like the fact that, like, the AEW talent does get a chance to shine on, like, on Renee's podcast on Oral Sessions.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get to – like, Jungle Boy was on it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I still have to listen to the full interview, but like, because like, you know, Renee has kind of developed a relationship with these people, obviously because of John.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't work for WWE anymore, does she?
No, she doesn't. I mean, she still does interview WWE people from time to time. Like there's, but like she interviews WWE people more once they become no longer WWE people. Like she finally had Adam Cole on the show. Like last week.
Now, my actual final thought, the last thing I'm going to say.
Okay, and then we have to shut up?
Yeah, then it's over. Jim Ross, I love JR. I don't think he slipped like everyone else has. I don't think he's in his prime anymore, but I do think people need to let off him. He's getting old, and, you know, I think he's got another year or two maybe, but...
Yeah.
I think he has tried his best to help the company. And with that being said, I think Tony Schiavone has proven that he's the greatest announcer of all time. I think we have witnessed a Tony Schiavone renaissance. Every time I hear him call a match, it's entertaining. Tony has not missed a beat whatsoever. He's better. He's almost as good as he was in WCW.
He is absolutely fun to listen to.
He is so good. He has been consistently so good for so long. He came back. No one was thinking about Schiavone anymore, and he fucking...
He wasn't even part of the plan.
No. And they brought him in, and he fucking...
He had his own podcast.
And he did better than JR did. And I love JR. And I love watching those two together. Seeing those two together makes me so happy. But Schiavone has really proven himself.
Right. Exactly.
All right, guys. We will see everybody next
later.
Week to see who ran over Steve Austin. Have a good one.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
That's going to be fun. All
see you tomorrow,
later,
guys. Later.
Honey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. You too, Dad.
Dooby-dooby-doo, where are you? We got some work to do now.